Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could the Cavaliers be robbed by fate?
And I think the NBA has caught up to the NFL, maybe even eclipsed the juggernaut.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hello, Tone.
Hey.
Good to see you.
Butterflies in the stomach for tonight yet, or is it not reached that level?
Oh, butterflies, big time. Big time butterflies. Very nervous. Very nervous about how this is going to go. It's a series. This is the series tonight. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong.
Okay, I think you might be a little wrong.
Okay.
Although, okay, so put it this way. You fall down 2-0 and now have to go on the road for 2 in Indiana. That's as bad of a spot as you can be in.
Yeah, hell yeah it is.
But if the reason they lose tonight is largely because guys are not playing either their normal minutes or guys are just out, and then you have all that time off. Yeah. Until Friday, and you have plenty of time the rest of the series, I will attempt to make a case that the series is not over. It's bleak. It's bad. It's as dark as it can be. But I'm not. That's why I'm not calling tonight a must-win yet.
Oh, I think you're wrong.
What do you mean not playing their normal minutes?
Like if...
I think you're dead wrong.
Because I need them to play more than their normal
minutes.
I think you're dead wrong.
Sure, but if they don't, and that's obvious to anybody watching the game why they lost the game, well, yeah, the Cavs played... You know, all their role players got all the big minutes because they weren't ready for tonight. Then I can make the case that, all right, with all the time off, the Cavs, there's a reason they were huge favorites in this series. And there's a reason they're still huge favorites tonight. That if everything was equal, the Cavs are the better team. So if things get more equal the rest of the series in terms of health, then I would make the case then that they could win. I'm not. I wouldn't honestly. If they lose tonight, I wouldn't pick them to win the series. But I'm not saying it's over. I'm not going to come on tomorrow and go, "That's it. It's over." Unless they say Evan Mobley's missing the rest of the series.
If they lose tonight,
if that happens, then yeah, I'll probably say it's over.
Hey man, I'm not going to say it's over because that's. I don't want to do it, but yeah. I'm not going to feel that great. I'm very nervous about that. I'm very nervous about tonight. I don't like all the injuries that are there. If they're good to go and they'll play, I'll feel different. I will feel better. But, you know, damn
it.
Well,
do you mean if you see them and they look like they're normal basketball players, no limitations?
Well.
Because, like, last year, what was it in, who was it that came back? Was it Ananobi tried to come back at the end of the Knicks series against Boston and he couldn't even move? And people are like, this is borderline in malpractice that they're letting him out there. Like if Darius goes out there and can't get down the court and chase Halliburton.
When do you got to get him out?
Well, then okay. Yeah. It's looking bleak.
Yeah. So, but if they got everybody and they look decent enough as people, then I'll say, well, players, I mean, people, I'm not going to besmirch them as people, but if they look decent enough on the floor, then that's what I'm going to deal with. And I'll let it ride where it is. But this is as close to an 0-1 hole as anybody could be in, which is weird to find yourself in a hole down 0-1. But
yeah,
because of the injuries that are there, that's how I feel about it. So I am, guys, I wish I could tell you different.
So you don't think there's any chance they could come back and win the series if they lose tonight?
I'm not going to say there's no chance, but I'm not gonna bet on them.
I wouldn't. And that's what I'm saying. If they lose tonight, especially too, if like Darius isn't healthy, it's like, when's he going to get healthy then? Evan, if they lose tonight and Evan doesn't play, I'm going to have the realistic expectation that he's going to get better. Can he get better in time for Friday, which would be an absolute must win?
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know. And if I don't know, I'm not going to guarantee anything. I have to find that out. If Evan isn't going to be able to go tonight, and it gets to like some, like, I'm not going to be feeling great, man. I'm just not going to be feeling great.
But if you had to guarantee something.
What do I guarantee? What do you want me to guarantee?
Would you guarantee the Cavs are going to win or the Cavs are going to lose?
I'm not guaranteeing either.
Well, we don't even know who's playing.
Yeah. Which, why am I going to guarantee? He just wants me to guarantee
now,
something.
No, I think.
I just want you to guarantee.
I'll mark it and
I want to be clear
put
here.
It in a box.
I want to be clear here. Like, we all did say, we were all being honest with ourselves, that yes, it was bad how we came out. It was bad that we weren't ready for their physicality and all that. But in the end, the Pacers had their best three-point shooting night of the year. We had our worst.
Yeah.
Both of those are facts. And because of that, the three-point shooting variance, you'd like to think, is going to be nowhere near that, right, for the next game. So I do think the Cavs can beat them shorthanded as long as Donovan Mitchell plays.
But what it felt like, though, Anthony, was they came out flat, right, or whatever. Then they had their cavalanche. And when the play with DeAndre Hunter happened,
Seven forty-four,
I believe, is game time, right? They were up one, and then it felt like they went, oh, we didn't get that call, so now we're not going to play.
That it was, it was a huge moment. There's no doubt. Although I do.
So if that's the way they're going to play this series, we're screwed.
Yeah,
true. I would like to think they'll have pride and
they'll get past that.
But they did. They did shoot horribly, and they can't shoot that bad again.
Yeah,
right?
I think they'll get past that moment this time.
I am really, really having trouble understanding something. So maybe you guys can help me.
All right.
I've heard a lot of people say that the refs missing that call, which they did. Dan Dockich, he's rooting for the Pacers. He said that was abuse. I mean, he said it was ridiculous. And then they had a replay, but they still didn't change it.
It felt like the Pacers went, oh, you're not going to call that? And let's see what else we can do.
Yeah, I mean, they were going to continue. Hey, look, it's the playoffs. Every shot should be contested.
Right.
I think we were spoiled by the Miami series where none of our shots were contested.
Mm-hmm.
they wanted nothing to do with it.
No.
But I've seen people jump to the conclusion that the refs missing the call there, you know, led to DeAndre Hunter's injury. It had nothing to do with the ref. DeAndre Hunter was getting injured whether they got the call right or not.
Correct.
Yeah, but they want the call.
Yeah, but they're like,
you at least
and
still
it
vindicated.
Led to the injury.
No, it didn't lead to anything.
Hunter came back into the game.
Yeah, it was going to happen whether there was a foul called or not. Yeah. But you at least get something out
but
of
they
it.
Were well, pretty,
we came right down to
they three. Were pretty soft on their calls all night, though. So had they been a little, had it been a more contested game from that standpoint, from the refs calling things.
Which new officiating crew, and Kenny Atkinson did some lobbying, and you do see some wild, wild inconsistencies from round to round and game to game in the playoffs. So, like, what if Kenny Atkinson goes out there to the officiating crew before the game? Because forget about the media stuff, right? I do think a lot of the refs try to stay, keep distance from that stuff. And not want to hear all that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kenny Atkinson will talk to the officials before the game, because both coaches do. And they always like to do a point of emphasis. NFL coaches do this all the time. People just don't know it because they're not really there in their seats to see it, and it's not really recorded. But the referees will have like, hey, how's your kid? Oh, graduation's coming up. That's awesome. You know, whatever.
That's how we found out Tony Brothers is going to open a steakhouse.
Is it?
Oh, that's right.
Is it really?
I forgot he was
like
opening up a
somebody
steakhouse.
Somebody mic'd up and it was them talking before the game.
Yes, he's opening up a steakhouse.
Is it a nice steakhouse?
No, there's only one nice steakhouse. And if he decides to call it a nice steakhouse, he'll be hearing from the Dream Team.
Will it be sloppy steaks?
Again, if he plans on having sloppy steaks, these are trademark things, so he better be careful.
I'd be nervous.
Because the Dream Team will come after him. We have sloppy steaks. We are a nice steakhouse. We have the rooftop in inclement weather. That's how it works.
And that's next to the, if memory serves me correctly, that's next to the Costume Emporium.
Yes, right next to the Lima.
And the rooftop has been busy the last month.
Drive-through Costume Emporium.
I can't even keep up with it.
David S. Pumpkin, still leading seller. He dropped off for a minute, but now he's back. Still number one.
With all of that said, Kenny Atkinson is going to pull the referees aside and say, hey, we're one game in, and we have four guys that are injured. So
you better give us some effing calls right now.
Will he bring up the other officiating crew, Anthony? Will he walk up to them and go, hey, I know you guys aren't these last guys. Let's keep this a little.
Can you go up to him and go, come on.
Come on.
Can you do that?
Like, hey, come on. The NBA wants a series here. Come on.
Yeah, you can do that.
Mink, yeah. Come on.
Come on. Come on. Help us out. Come on. If you can do that. Yeah, I'm worried about tonight. I'm worried about tonight, and I'm worried about if they lose tonight, what's going to be said about this team. And I'm just not going to be comfortable. I'm not a comfortable person.
Okay, no doubt. I'm getting the weird, not the heebie-jeebies necessarily.
No, you're getting the jeebies.
Uh-oh.
But I'm getting something. I have an uneasy feeling because I sit back as I lay my head on that pillow last night. I said, there's no way we just lose this series, and it's an all-time pox against the Cavs and their regular seasons. Because the one thing we did say is, like, let's make regular seasons great again. We were the one team that played our asses off in Oklahoma City. We played our asses off. You want some validity to it. You don't want to turn the whole organization to prioritizing only the playoffs, to where if you have season tickets, like, who's going to play tonight? Like Kawhi Leonard was for how many years? Like, you don't want that to be the case. That sucks. That sucks to only care about the playoffs.
Well, Kawhi's problem, he can get you. You can get to the postseason, but then you put him with James Harden. It's like, well, James is just going to do his own thing any night. And if you get a good night of James, well, then that's great. But if you get a bad night of James, which is most of the nights, it's not going to be as tantalizing as the other good nights. So that's...
Yeah, I just meant the load managing thing that started really in San Antonio years ago.
Yeah.
When they started sitting guys out, and plus the fans had been so used to success and deep playoff runs that eventually there were empty seats in that place. Even those great fans are like, why? Why does this matter? Why does this matter? You guys are telling us on national television that you're sitting out guys because it's important to preserve their safety or their health.
Yes. Well, you also get to a point where, you know, I can't call out a fan base because if you're going to have, you know, tickets are always going to be expensive. And if you just degrade the regular season, well, eventually they're going to start spending their money or saving their money for the postseason. So you're going to get, I still think there's such a thing as the secondary market and the $7 seat and the nosebleeds, but you will still see empty seats for regular season games against teams that aren't that great. But that's because a lot of people will save their money for the postseason. And I think that's something that's going to continue over the course of time. I'm glad you brought up Greg Popovich, by the way. Where do you rank him? Where do you rank him in terms of the greats? Where's Greg go?
You know, we talk so much. We spend so much energy, especially our show, wondering out loud if coaches matter in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds ridiculous. Cavs just got Kenny Atkinson, and boom, they took off. Historically great offense.
Understood.
64 wins.
Understood.
The Warriors is Steve Kerr. And San Antonio Popovich. But of course, he came in, and because of the fortunate injury situation, then next thing you know, they're holding out David Robinson. They get the number one overall pick in the draft. They take Tim Duncan, and now they're just going to be good for the next 20 years. And obviously, they had some of the best scouting. They get Manu Ginobili. They get Tony Parker. These were not big-time prospects that everybody else would have drafted. So you had the luxury of having these great players. But as we just saw with Mike Malone in Denver, it's not X's and O's. It's keeping your team together. It's giving them hope, yeah, empowering them and all that stuff, but also you got to be a mother you-know-whatter at times. And Popovich got away with it like few NBA coaches can. How many NBA coaches can give them the tough love that he was able to give them and also be a jerk to the media when he wanted to? I know he could be affable too, but how many guys can get away with that today? I don't even know if Greg Popovich could get away with it today.
Well, I think that Greg Popovich shows you, you know, you have these teams and guys get fired. And how, like, you know, once Michael Malone and the Nuggets get to the finals and they win, it's like, how could they ever move on? And then just a couple of later, he's gone. Nick Nurse, just a couple of years later, he's gone. I think it does go to show you how great he is, because you're able to preserve a relationship with people for a long time. Guys get mercurial. Coaches, and especially in the NBA, big-time coaches and big-time players, they tend to butt heads after a while. They'll butt heads, and then things are good, and it becomes a story. But it rarely ends storybook. It really rarely does. So I don't think it's ended storybook, quote-unquote, with Greg Popovich, but it's about as close as you're going to find in professional sports now, because you have these other guys that the relationship just sours. And I find it fascinating that, you know, a couple of years ago, Mike Budenholzer and Milwaukee, and then that completely blows up. And then you just had the other firing that happened in Milwaukee. I mean, not Darvin Ham, who the hell did they have last year? And they basically had an I quit game against the Cavs.
Oh, my God.
Cleveland then, last season.
Yeah. The next thing you know, Doc Rivers is back.
Yeah. So I think that it shows how Greg Popovich is able to keep this relationship with a player who I do believe is going to, you know, tell people at that time exactly what he felt, and I think he had strong opinions about the way the Spurs played. And Tim Duncan, you know, there was Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker was a star, obviously, in his own right. To keep that group together, that nucleus, and to be able to ride that wave. And then you remember, like, you know, with Kawhi Leonard, when Kawhi wanted out, I think some of us wondered whether or not Popovich still had the magic touch. Because when Kawhi wanted out, it seemed like Greg Popovich was there for a long time. Anyway, how long was Greg Popovich the head coach of the Spurs? It had to be over 20 seasons.
Yeah.
I thought it was closer to 30, yeah. Right?
So you have this guy who's been around for a long time, and he basically was there through two runs, loses Kawhi Leonard, then you start to get the question, and then you bring in Victor Wembanyama, and it seemed like they're poised for another run, and I think that he's kind of stepped away at the perfect time. I don't know if we're going to find another guy. So that longevity, that trust to be able to run your organization, where a guy like Rick Carlisle, who's a great coach, has been fired after winning an NBA title, I think that it shows you just the legend that he is. He is a, at times, cantankerous individual, but I think that that's part of the gimmick. I think that he just does not suffer fools. I think that he has his own thoughts. I don't think he liked being bothered during NBA games, which is something I agree with. I don't find it to be the greatest look-in ever. I think it's a distraction. I'd rather my coach, and we'll get the story from you after the game. I think they're kind of, I do not see the tremendous benefit from it, of interviewing people during the game. And I think that Greg Popovich highlighted that, but knew he couldn't get out of it because of the NBA, you know, agreements with the broadcasters. So he knows these sideline reporters. I don't think he's disrespectful. So he just kind of did it his own way, and it became its own running gag. And I think it made the NBA a little bit more special, that here you got this coach who's doing this stuff, and he's, I mean, tremendously successful. So if I were to put him in the generation, there is crossover with Phil Jackson because he's been a coach for so long. Is it of the same generation as Phil Jackson? Okay. So that would put him probably number two in the generation. And then all time, there's Phil Jackson, there's Red Auerbach. Who else?
Oh, Dr. Jack Ramsey, of course.
Dr. Jack Ramsey. Who else do you put in that mix?
Well, you know, Red and...
And I mentioned him.
Do you put Jerry Sloan in that?
Yeah, Sloan.
You know, Jerry Sloan was just a guy who never won a championship.
Yeah.
George Karl. I mean, those are a next level of guys.
Jerry Sloan was able to stay around for a long time. I mean, if you put a list of greatest NBA coaches out there, I'm sure there's... can you Google it real quick?
Between Phil and Pop, those two guys are the reason that most of the guys that I know as head coaches don't have a championship, because they went and got them all.
Yeah, everybody.
They got 14
everybody.
Of them between.
Okay,
them.
Here we go.
You know, like
Steve Kerr is in the list.
Yeah,
Pat Riley on the list.
Okay.
Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich with two G's. Remember, Larry Brown is mentioned on this list.
We get Don Nelson.
Don Nelson is not, but Chuck Daly is.
Mm.
Jerry Sloan is there. Eric Spoelstra, right underneath our nose.
17 years.
Didn't look like a really good coach in the series.
Red Holtzman. Don Nelson is later mentioned. So is Dr. Jack Ramsey.
Yeah.
You kind of get into...
Do you get a George Carl?
No.
No.
He's not in there.
No George Carl. See
he's not in there. Bill Fitch is on this.
Do you get a Cotton Fitzsimmons?
See, we're getting a weird like mix here. Like, first off, Dennis Rodman never coached.
Do you get a John Lucas?
Do you get a Larry Bird who went to the NBA Finals with the Indiana Pacers?
No, you don't. Which I think he could have been a great. I think he could have been a great coach. He just wasn't.
He was a great executive.
What about Lenny Wilkins? Isn't he in the Hall of Fame as both a coach and a player?
Yeah, sorry, Lenny Wilkins. I glossed over him. I'm sorry. So, like NBA.
He's not in there for staying on the air with you.
NBA is the 15 greatest coaches. They got Red number one. Larry Brown in here. Oh, I don't think they have numbers. I think they just have the 15. Chuck Daly, two championships, great hair. Red Holtzman, as I had said. Phil, Casey Jones. Phil's got to be number one. Wrong, right?
No.
I'll tell you the interesting thing about Kerr.
Kerr's up there.
And Phil Jackson had some of this too, but notably with Kerr is the championships that he coached is the Olympic work, right? Olympic teamwork.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The championships as a player.
Yeah.
And he was a GM. They didn't win the championship, but he was the Suns GM. And all of this, I don't know how he worked all this into his career. He also was the head color analyst, I think, not the head color, but he was on the Final Four coverage or the NCAA tournament coverage.
Well, he worked for TNT.
And TNT for the NBA.
Yeah.
So what a career. Like, that guy, that's going to go down in history.
We got to get these guys back in suits.
Not to mention his activism in politics, which, of course, will half the people will turn off this podcast now.
Lenny Wilkins is mentioned. Greg Popovich is in there. He's probably top five. He's definitely top five ever. And they got Eric Spoelstra on this list of 15. Doc's on this list. Pat Riley. Where do you put Don Nelson? Like, you look at the credentials for Don Nelson. You ready?
Yep.
This was recent. This is 75 for 75, so that was in Cleveland, right? With 75?
Yep. Got 50 for 50 and 75.
So just a couple years ago. Most regular season victories in NBA history at the time. He has 300 wins with three different franchises. He had 540 with the Bucks, 422 with the Warriors, 339 with the Mavericks. 13 seasons, 50 or more wins, including two seasons of 60 victories. Just never had a championship. Never had a championship. And on the downside of Don Nelson, everybody knows he had the understanding of we're tanking.
Yes.
Which he broke. I mean, to me, in sports, that is the same thing as Eddie Mansfield going on 2020 and saying that it's all fake. Like, you don't do that. You just don't do it. I think that you know what the organization has in mind. But, like, it's known that Don Nelson is a participant in it. And you're just not supposed to. I think maybe Don Nelson's like, I'm not going to bleep anybody. We all know what this is. I'm not going to insult anybody's intelligence. But you're just not supposed to do it because eventually you have to get those players' attention to believe in you.
It brings me to another conversation. So how about, you know, I asked Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has 10 titles, 5 as a coach, 5 as a player. Phil Jackson, 11 as a coach, 2 as a player.
70 and 73 Knicks.
Our whole lives, the NBA has been like, here are three teams that can win the championship this year. Enjoy all the highlights. Enjoy the dunks. Enjoy the game winners. But in the end, here are the teams that can win it. Then you have the golden age of the player empowerment era where it was, we are going to join forces. And we're like, oh my God, now nobody's got a shit. Who is going to do this and want to come to Cleveland? That is never going to happen. And here we are. We had the third best odds to win the title this year. And we got a free agent to sign here, re-sign in Donovan Mitchell. We never thought that would happen. Can I make an argument right now that the NBA has caught up to the NFL and Major League Baseball in the anybody can win it? It was the one sport where that was never the case.
You can.
Look at how wide open the NBA is this year.
Okay, you can. But I also think that it doesn't work for the NBA the way it works for the NFL.
So it's a bad
thing. The NFL, to me, is the only thing where like... But remember, it's a perceived parity. I mean, the Chiefs have been to the Super... How many times have the Chiefs been to the Super Bowl in the last 10 years?
Five.
Have they been there five times in a row?
They won three and lost two, not in a row.
Okay.
They...
Who beat him the 1 year.
Tampa Bay, and then the Eagles.
They beat him
this
in the Super Bowl. I mean, yeah. Going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, going to the Super Bowl to be in the AFC Championship game in a row.
Well,
the Bengals
since
did it.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
The Bengals did it. Yeah, that's like it.
The Bengals did it, and the Patriots
years ago.
Yeah,
those are the two. First year. It feels like that Patriots year. Yep. It feels like it was.
That was Tom
years
Brady
ago.
Was on that team, and so was Julian Edelman.
The NFL does not have the parity we think they do.
Yeah,
the NBA. I think that a lot of sports. No one likes to talk about this. Has always been one of my takes. I think we all say we want parity. We don't want parity. Well, the NBA.
The parity is there for competition. The parity is not there for champion.
Yeah, but you want.
For upper elite.
Like, it's the same. Like, okay, I just watched the third installment of the original Star Wars over the weekend.
Wow.
So this is Darth Vader-esque. You need. Everybody wants to beat Darth Vader unless they're Darth Vader. Unless they're part of the evil empire. So you have to have a common opponent that everybody hates. Like, now the Chiefs have become the evil empire. If the Eagles win another one, the Eagles will become the evil empire. Or they might just both become that. Like, you looked at the 70s NBA, right? You have the Knicks that win two. All right, they're the biggest one in the world here. I'm not boring you.
No, not at all.
I promise. Then you have Golden State. Boston wins one. Portland, Washington wins one. Seattle in 79. The NBA at that time, everybody will tell you, the NBA was at a low point. It was after 79, who? Magic Bird.
Magic and
who ends up being in the finals over the next decade? Yeah, you get 1 year with the Sixers in 83. The rest of it is Lakers, Boston. Finally, Detroit
in 1990. Back to back.
Or 1989 and 1990. Yeah. But by that time, who's there? Michael's there. So they're getting ready for Michael to take that throne. So it led on into this area. Well, then you had Michael to Kobe for a short time, then LeBron. Now LeBron's at the end of it. Where are we at? We've had how many different champions?
Six
and how many
in a row,
years?
And you have a legitimate chance to make it seven straight different champions.
And all I hear is bitching about the league. All I hear is bitching about the regular season. Complaints about how the game is played. Complaints about how great. Because whether you want to admit it or not, you need the Lakers. You need the Celtics. You need the Yankees, the Cowboys. The Cowboys haven't won anything in 30 years, but what the hell. You need these teams.
Define you need. What does that, mean?
The league needs
You're saying
that.
Higher ratings in the finals?
Yes, because we want to see these teams lose.
So, yeah.
I remember exactly where I was at when the Pistons beat the Lakers. I remember exactly where I was at when that happened.
Yeah. So, that's true. Like, the NFL doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's in the Super Bowl. It could be Jacksonville versus Green Bay, two smallest markets, and it would have a chance to set the record. So, the NFL is always going to have that. There's nothing baseball or and baseball had their best setup ever last year in the World Series, right? They had the Yankees and the Dodgers. That's as good as it gets, and they got good ratings last year. It's not going to get higher. Like that's the pinnacle. It's never probably going to get higher again for the NBA than I think Game 7 of 2016. I think they averaged 40 some million. It's never going to happen again. No.
But I'm not asking to break records. I'm asking to draw and have everybody interested again. And I do think that there can be some fatigue if you feel you can't break through. The NBA, I feel I can break through. I didn't think I was going to be able to, but clearly the Cavs can, Milwaukee can, all these teams can, but you still need.
Could be Oklahoma City this year, could be now Denver, Minnesota could win the title.
But for everybody else, you see, and I think there's just such a thing as maybe a little bit too much parity, because the reason why 2016 works so well, you took the player of the generation and you somehow made him the underdog. And that is huge. You took a guy that is as polarizing as it gets, who is an icon. But icons can be polarizing, and he certainly is. You turn him into a underdog. That is hard to do. And they were able to do it. I don't think that it can be done again ever, simply ever. But I do think that, you know what, if the Celtics win another championship this year, I don't think it's the worst thing for the NBA. I think we won't like it, but it's only going to mean more for the NBA. Because now it's like, all right, you've won two in a row. Who's going to be able to beat the Celtics? Who can take down the Celtics? Now this is starting to be seen as a super team. Who can do it? But if Oklahoma City just rattles it off and wins it, okay, that's the seventh different one in 7 years. How special is it? It's special to those fan bases.
We got to carry this over to the show.
Okay. You seem to disagree with me, but that's fun.
You know what? I'm sitting here thinking, because you're right. The ratings will never be high in this current. It'll never reach those peak levels. Mm-hmm. But what did I hear after 4 years of Cavs Warriors? We're so sick of this finals. Get us something new. All right. Well, anything you get's not going to get the ratings that this just got. So, you know, what do you want? What do you want out of it? And maybe the NBA is in a no-win either way in this regard.
All right. Go Cavs.